Like I said, it's amazing to be here today. Thank you all for joining. And yeah, today I would just like to talk about how Jesus is the bread of life. And there is no other life outside of him. I want to start off with saying there is no better life outside of a life with Christ. Not only is he life, he is the life. You know, throughout this world, there's so many other things offering a source of satisfaction, a source of fulfillment, something that can fill our life. But only Jesus can truly fill us. And if we can start with that first verse, Morgan, 1 John 5, verse 11 to 12. So this verse was written about 70 AD. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, we see two things in this verse. We see that the Son has eternal life, and whoever has the Son has life too. Now, if we can go back to the time of Jesus' ministry, the next verse, John 14, verse 6, he said the same thing. He said, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so there, again, we see that Jesus is life, and he leads to eternity. No one comes to the Father except through him. And I like the way how he says that he is the life. Meaning there's no alternative, better way of living. He is the only source. He's the life. He's not a life, a type of life, or something that can give you a piece of life. He is simply the life. He's the full package. Okay, nothing else. And you know, I'd really just like to sort of convey that message to you guys today. And you know, in life, we tend to work for things. A lot of these things don't endure forever. We long for things that hold no eternity. And we often don't realize how a lot of these things don't endure. If we can go to that first slide, please, Morgan. In John 6, verse 26 to 27. Oh, we should be starved. In John 6, verse 26 to 27. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. So at the time when he said this, he had just performed a lot of miracles. He'd walked on water and he'd fed the 5,000. And people were attracted to him because of what they were seeing. The next verse. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. So he already sees here that he knows that in these people's hearts, and in their lives, they're working for things that don't endure to eternity. Now, for us, that can be our careers. It can be relationships. Even in heaven, they say we won't be in partnership in marriage in heaven already. And a lot of people think, oh, if I get married, if I have kids, then my life will be sorted. You'll live with that hole in your heart forever if you don't get it sorted now, that Jesus is life. And you need to be filled with that so that you're prepared to walk the rest of your life drawing from him as your source, not from Netflix or drugs, alcohol. Billy Graham once said, a lot of people in this generation like to drink because it fills them. But you wake up the next morning with a hangover. Give your life to Jesus. He won't give you a hangover. And yeah, a lot of people go throughout their lives just seeking that next thing that will fill them. And they miss this crucial piece that Jesus is the life. No one else, nothing else. It's only him. And if you live with that, you'll have prosperity. You'll be content walking through your days. Whether you have tough ones, you know, Jesus is still my source of life. You know, like if it's load shedding, oh, my life's screwed now. No, like you have Jesus. You have an access to something that can fill you with endless joy and perfect peace. Okay. Uncle Kharat and Uncle Sherman, could you guys please come forward? Okay, I'm going to take my course plucker out. Yeah, you can show the crowd that one. Sherman, you can join him. Take it out. Yeah, just flick the backside into the mic quick. So it's nice dry bread. You can have a just break a piece off for yourselves and tell us what you think. Is that it? Uncle Khaled, I didn't put toxins in it. It doesn't matter.
I thought it was toasted.
I toasted it yesterday. Sherman, what do you think?
I thought it was toasted, but it's like, yo, it was rough.
How's your throat feel?
Dry.
Right, okay. How does your throat feel?
I'm glad I'm still alive.
The correct answer is kerk terug. So their throats, yeah, intensive before, and there we go. And then, okay, my next sandwich. This one I made this morning, just so you know. You guys can, you can put it back. There's one for you. And one for you, Uncle Sharon. Yeah. You can, ciao. Yeah, I'll let you just enjoy that for 10 seconds. So on there, there's a whole bunch of nice things. And how does it taste, Uncle Sherman?
Too good
for words.
This is a serious upgrade.
Okay, so the idea was that obviously this disgusting stale piece of bread with a little bit of peanut butter on to make it even more dry was the things of this world, things that don't endure forever, and how we go through our life eating things that are dry, and we're filling ourselves with dry things. And then this is Jesus, the bread of life, the gourmet sandwich, which endures forever and fills us fully. And you guys, thank you guys. Round of applause for thank you. Enjoy that. Which brings me to my next verse, John 6, verse 31 to 33. So he was talking to the people that he was sharing his ministry with, and they were asking him questions because he was talking about the bread. And previously in the book of Exodus, God had provided bread from heaven. He promised the people he would provide them with bread, and they would go out each day getting bread from heaven, and they would get their full of the loaves. And so he said, they're telling Jesus this: our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Next verse. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And this is simply the posture we should have, because now they realize, oh, God is providing the Son of Man coming down from heaven. He's the bread of life. Give us this bread always, because they know that this one is the one that holds eternity, not the stale sandwich that just fills our mouth and just makes us dry. And similarly, we should be having this posture towards Jesus. Lord, you know, give us your bread always. And I think what's important to remember is that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And often we get caught up trying to go throughout our life and not realizing that Jesus actually wants to serve us with his bread. He gave a life for a life. That's why he came down, is that so he can, you know, provide us with the service, and we can be filled with his life. And if you can go on to the next verse. Then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And so can you go to my first slide, Morgan? We should be starving, yes. So essentially what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life, he means he nourishes us spiritually, and he satisfies the deep spiritual longings of our souls. So he knows that each person has a heart that hungers for something. We're all worshipers, whether it be music, sport, hobbies, people, it can be anything. We all long for something. And now Jesus knows, the amazing thing about God is that he meets us where he's at, where we at. And so he longs to nourish us and fill us. And essentially, we should be starved and dead spiritually without the life of Christ being birthed in us daily. And I feel that's important because when we're not being birthed with the life of Christ in us daily, we tend to look to the things of this world to fill us, and we'll end up dry like that toast, you see? So when our eyes aren't focused on Jesus and our hearts aren't centered with him, we quickly turn to the things of this world. And I remember in this holiday, I had time to gym a lot, and so I made a schedule where I would gym a lot, and came to a point where I realized I got more and more hooked, and I was like, wait, this is food that doesn't endure to eternal life. You know, it's actually food that perishes, even though it's good for me. I was like, Lord, you know, you are what fills me. You know, because we feel good, it is good for us, and but afterwards, you know, you're stiff, and then it's gone, and then you're like, oh, what now? And I had to turn my heart, and I was like, God, I was like, you are what fills us. He always fills us. He knows, that's why he says, those who come to me will not hunger, and they will not thirst. He knows that we're thirsty for fulfillment and satisfaction. He knows that we're hungry for things to fill us, and that's why he says it in a simple term, I am the bread of life, because bread feeds us, and it fills us, which brings me to my next slide.
Next slide. He sustains us.
Yeah. When we taste Jesus, we want more, and Jesus will always sustain us. And so, you know, it's like, you know when you're like really, really hungry, and you start eating food, and then you realize how hungry you actually were, and then you really start trying, like, the table suddenly goes quiet, because everyone was like, jeez, we really were hungry, and he's just like, you know, eating. I don't know if it's just me, because I'm a teenage boy, and I like eating food a lot, but I know that, like, when you're really, really hungry, and then your stomach's sort of like, okay, but then when you start eating, it's like, yo, and you start chowing. So it's similarly to being filled with Jesus. You know, throughout your life, you're hungry for this thing, and then when you come to Jesus, you finally find it, the true source of life. You want more. And I encourage you guys to give into that hunger, because like he says, those who come to him will not hunger, and they won't thirst. And so we know that he'll sustain us, and he is a reliable source of sustainability, giving us life. Morgan, if you could go to the next slide, please. And lastly, he fills. So only Jesus can truly fill us. But what fills you? It was Friday evening, Lord laid on my heart, that there's a million things filling you, and only Jesus leads to life. And it's like you're, you know, this world is constantly providing us with things that take our eyes off God, and that's Satan's plan. He provides all these tempting things to give into so that we don't look upon Jesus, because he knows that Jesus holds life, and he knows that once we taste him, we'll want more. And so, yeah, I really just want us to ponder on that. There's a million things filling us, and only Jesus leads to life. What really is filling you? Is it leading you closer to God, or is it pulling you away? Is it possessing your heart in a way that won't lead to Jesus? Or is it, you know, just taking up space that he deserves in our hearts? And I think the more we give into things that aren't of him, the bigger those grow, and it becomes a stronghold on our hearts. And it makes it harder for us to see the satisfaction and fulfillment that Jesus has for us in our hearts. And that's why I think it's important to surrender those things before him and allow the freedom in the space of our hearts for him to come and fill us fully. And that brings me to my testimony. So I've been in this church roughly my whole life, ever since I was a toddler, and I never had an intimate relationship with Jesus. I would come to church, but I never had an intimate relationship with Jesus, and I didn't know what that relationship meant. And when I came to high school, I wasn't living by conviction, and so the world was really appealing to me, and I dabbled in the things of this world. I would chase after girls. I started vaping really early in grade 8, and I just wanted to live for the satisfaction of people and what they thought about me. And I would change my personality for different groups of people, whether it be I was talking to gamers or sporty guys or nerdy guys. I would have different conversations I could build with them just so that I could fit in with them. But at the end of the day, I would always feel like empty inside. And when it came to me being by myself, it didn't endure to ever, forever. And I felt dry again because I was eating of the dry bread the whole time. And then I always knew, though, I had a big love for people. So I had a lot of friends, and I loved them a lot because I always had a heart for people, and I still do today. But that what that brought me was the heart to pray for them. In Boys to Men camp last year in January, they spoke a lot about eternity and heaven and hell. And I realized how all of my friends were doomed, how they were all actually going to die. And I was left with the choice to tell them the gospel or not. And I was like, I really, really, really need to start spreading Jesus. And so it put in me this hunger to start praying to be a vessel for God. And so I started praying before I went to sleep, and I never used to pray. And I would ask God, I was like, make me a vessel, Lord, you know, like, please, like, use me to advance your kingdom. Use me to glorify yourself, Lord. But I can't bear the fact of my friends dying and spending eternity burning in hell. And slowly but surely, he started cutting off these layers inside of me, and he started cleaning me because he had to make me worthy to be his vessel first. And I used to have these big, big burdens, and I used to suffer from heavy condemnation because I came to church for 15 years. I came to church for 15 years working for the food that perishes. And there could be people here today doing the same thing. You come to church every Sunday, but throughout your life and in the week, you're just constantly working for food that perishes. And there came a point where one night I actually stood up in my bed and I fisted the air and I was like, God, I believe. I was like, Jesus, I believe that you are life. And I have faith that you're the life. And I started to trust him. And as I started doing this, his spirit started pouring into my heart. And I got hooked. I was like, what is this? I was like, this is amazing. This is the gourmet sandwich. Now I was eating of the good food, the bread of life. And he was filling me. And I was like, stuff all these other things. He broke my addiction. I was a vape addict for 2.5 years. I struggled from lust, and I had no more fear of man, and I just fully sold out my life to Jesus because I tasted the bread of life. And there's people here today who need to taste the bread of life, because if you haven't tasted it, you'll keep on eating dry bread, and it won't endure forever. There's food, substances, gambling, wrong music, Netflix, sport, all these things that captivate our heart. And I'm telling you, it's just Satan trying to pull you away from Jesus. Some of those things are good. You know, there is a space for our hobbies and our free time. But if that's what's owning your heart, it's not healthy for you. And the same, like I said earlier, people look for that in relationships. You know, they feel if this person will complete me. it's not how it works. Like, No, I'm serious. Only Jesus can complete our heart fully. He takes us from A to Z, you know? There's a place for relationships, but if you're looking for life there first before you find it in Jesus, you are going to end up mistaken and desperate and dry. And so stop seeking for fulfillment in the wrong places. Morgan, if you could bring up Matthew 6, verse 33, please. So here Jesus is actually telling us and showing us how much he wants our attention to be on him, because he cares for us and he's a jealous God and he wants and longs for intimacy with us. So he says to the people in front of him, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What he's trying to say, like don't focus on the things that don't lead to the kingdom of God. Don't focus on the dry bread. Don't eat of the dry bread the whole time, because you're going to end up short-handed. So he knows that we want something deeper. He knows that we want something better. And he's saying, seek first the kingdom of righteousness. Put our eyes on God, you know. Put your focus on Jesus, because he leads to eternity, right? He's the one that fills us fully. And I think that's why it's important throughout our life to make sure that we're seeking first Him and His kingdom, because otherwise we'll end up dry and dead spiritually inside, like I said earlier.